This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have no Sue Thomas today. She'll be back tomorrow. Fred will be back from Japan as well. And, of course, tomorrow is opening day. Ethan somehow is getting the day off because you're going to go and have fun at the game. I used to do that. I'm old enough to remember when I hosted all the opening day. Man, it was like, you know, you got to understand, when I worked on KMOX, I looked at these days when I would get off because of the Cardinals games, Ethan, and there was a lot of golf involved. I don't have that joy anymore. But let's talk a little baseball with Ricky Horton, broadcaster for the St. Louis Cardinals radio network. He works with the awesome John Rooney every day. Ricky, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. I had the joy of talking to you, Mark. It's been a long time. And also, I've had the joy of getting to know and work with and be around Ethan a lot. And love that dude.
He is great, and he has spoke very, very fondly of you, and you've been a great mentor, so I appreciate that. But let's talk a little Cardinals baseball. I guess the question that everyone has is, can you give us hope, right? Can you give us a little hope,
yeah.
Ricky?
Yeah. Yeah, well, here's the best way I can say the hope. And, yeah, and well, first of all, baseball always provides hope. You know,
that's
40
true.
Years ago, Mark, 40 years ago, the team I was on was picked to come in last place in 1985, and we got to within one game of winning the World Series. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but you know, I'm not, also not saying it's not. I mean, we had young guys in 1985 that all had to do something better than they'd ever done for it to work, and guess what? We all did. Pendleton did. Van Slyke did. Worrell did. Daly did. Coleman did. I mean, Willie McGee hit 363 and had never hit 300 before. I mean, this is a team that just kind of, you know, we're out over their skis, and maybe that could happen. So that's part of the hope. But the other part of the hope, Mark, is that the division's not exactly filled with the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Bronx Bombers
that's
either.
True.
So
that is,
I mean,
true.
it's very possible that the team could win this division by being a couple of games over 500.
But these guys, especially the veterans, they're aware of where the expectations are. They're aware that the fans are, you know, a little lukewarm on what's happening, certainly in the front office. Not that St. Louis baseball fans aren't educated, don't want the young guys to come up and get experience, and that we understand that some of this is a rebuild. But there is an opportunity to exceed expectations. But these guys, they know what the expectations are, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt, and the young guys do too. They understand that it's about winning. It's not about just being in the big leagues, and a lot of the young guys have at least had a taste of the big leagues. And that old saying, you know, it's easy to get to the big leagues, but it's hard to stay there. And then the longer you stay there, the more you just want to win. I mean, you want to win anyway, but you know, getting to the big leagues is such a la-la land experience. I mean, it's like, man, I get to do what I dreamed of doing since I was 10 years old. But then the dream gets bigger, and that's what you hope happens with guys like Nolan Gorman and Brendan Donovan and Ivan Herrera and you know, of course, the Cardinals that are most reliant upon right now, they got to have the power from both Gorman and Walker, and those guys are very key.
So Victor Scott has this amazing spring. There's some questions lingering until the weekend whether or not he's going to make the roster. He is going to get the start in center field. What would you say about his spring, and how would you, you know, position Michael Ciani then relating to that?
Well, I think Michael Ciani becomes your fourth outfielder and your defensive replacement. Michael Ciani is, frankly, a better outfielder defensively than Victor Scott. And Victor Scott was a minor league gold glover. So that tells you something about how good Ciani is. So, but, you know, Michael doesn't hit the way Victor does, at least in spring training. Victor was different. I mean, he took all the suggestions that they gave him, Mark, and he took them to heart and he just got better. He just did. And I could say the same thing about Matthew Libertor, Luke and Baker. They all got rewarded for working hard in the winter and coming to spring training ready to go. And, you know, I do like that. But Victor's exciting. He can run, steal a lot of bases, and he has surprising power too.
Ricky, Ethan here. You know, with Victor Scott getting that starting center field position, it kind of puts Ollie Marmol in a little bit of a difficult position with how is he going to get all of these guys playing time? And I guess the main two that are expected to be affected their playing time is Nolan Gorman and Alec Burleson. How exactly do you navigate this if you're Ollie Marmol trying to, you know, balance out guys getting the runway they need, but also, you know, making sure that the better player's playing?
It's a great question, and I don't think it's answered yet. And I think Ollie has said, quite frankly, it's not ideal. So he's gonna work everything he can do to get all the guys at bats that need to get at bats. You know, I'm reminded of a time when one of my favorite Cardinals ever, Sotoguchi, was not a starter for the Cardinals, but led the team in at bats because he was kind of playing everywhere, and they just found places for him. You know, guys are gonna get hurt, guys are gonna be down for a while, guys are gonna, you know, need a break, and you know, you don't play every day, but you know how that is, Ethan. And so I'm just wondering if, you know, it's just going to be some magic of math that gives these opportunities to a guy like Burleson, because I think Alec Burleson, maybe Wilson Contreras, but I think Alec Burleson is the Cardinals' best hitter. That's my personal opinion. Donovan's right up there. Herrera's right up there. And I'm not talking about power now. I'm just talking about ability to hit. I'd hate to have Burley not in the lineup.
Well, where does Nolan Arenado fit into all this? From the perspective, like, he is our third baseman. He is, we know how great he was. We were thrilled when he came here to St. Louis. But obviously, all this talk over the winter of trading, it's just got to be an awkward situation. Or has that kind of worn off, the awkwardness?
I think the awkwardness was less awkward in person than I expected it to be, and frankly, I expected it to be, you know, a little icy, but it wasn't. I mean, he was smiling, and John Mozeliak was talking about him a lot, and Mo is always very candid. He was talking about things, and he said, look, that he's just being a pro about this, and we get along, we're doing fine. I mean, it just didn't
that's
work,
good.
And that's and he's got the prerogative. So, and you know now. Could that change? I mean, I don't think it's going to change. I think what might change is I would say the better he does and the worse the Cardinals do, the more likely he's going to get dealt sometime during the year. I mean, that could happen.
So
if he's doing well.
No, absolutely. One final question. I only have 2 minutes left, but why, and I think I asked Tom Ackerman this question earlier this week, why would we or why should we have any expectation that Sonny Gray will be better tomorrow and into the first part of the season than he was in the spring? Because he got roughed up pretty well.
He really did, I think that's where the hope word comes in, because he's a pitcher. He's not just a thrower, and he does throw max effort like everybody does now, but he's got a really good idea of how to make adjustments, and that's my place where I go for the hope of Sonny Gray.
Ricky, before we wrap up real quick here, one final question. You know, obviously plenty of experience on the major league mound yourself. What did you like about this rotation from this past spring? You know, Michael McGreevy doesn't make the major league roster, but also moving to a six-man rotation for the first time after a lot of rumors about it, it feels like on and off the past couple of years, they're finally going to it. What was your biggest takeaways from the pitching this spring?
Well, not only McGreevy doesn't make it, Ethan, but Steven Matz doesn't get a shot at the rotation, and he was really good this spring. I think Steven Matz looked the best I've seen him since he's been a Cardinal. His delivery was different. Now, you know, can that come and go? Of course it can. But I thought he earned a spot in the rotation too. So that just shows how good the other guys were, other than, again, Sonny Gray being not so solid. Frankly, I do not like six-man rotations. I think it's a bad idea. But you know, I'm not in charge, and we'll see how that goes. I think I'd rather have a five-man rotation and two long guys in your pen, and maybe long-term that would be the kind of thing that they would do with a guy like McGreevy. I think if you have a six-man rotation, it will absolutely kill your bullpen.
In honor of the start of baseball season, about a week ago, over the course of two nights, I rewatched Bull Durham and got in the mood. And, you know, the good news is, no matter what the questions are, baseball starts again tomorrow, and we're all happy about that. So, Ricky, thanks so much for squeezing us in. Enjoy opening day. Yep. I hope that we get the game in. Doesn't look like too much rain. We're off and running starting tomorrow, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, great to chat with you guys.
All right, thank you.
Thanks,
that's Ricky Horton. And Ethan, I appreciate you setting that up for sure. We're going to be happy that there's baseball, and we're going to hope for exceeding expectations, which I do think is possible, mainly because they're so low. We got Ethan's news, pinch hitting for Sue, coming up.